Why are we hated by everybody? Is a question asked by many, many Jews. A hated, a despised people. Satan hates the Jew worse than any people who have ever lived upon the face of the earth. There were those scribes and Pharisees who came to the Lord on one occasion asking for a sign. One characteristic of the Jew has been their desire for signs. I'm amazed at the so-called Gentile Christians today who are seeking for signs. How do I know you're filled with the Spirit of God? How do I know you've been saved? And on and on. The Word tells us that we are to live by faith and not by sight. But the Jew requires a sign. And when they asked the Lord on this occasion for a sign, He told them, "No sign will be given unto you except the sign of Jonah and the whale." That is the sign of Jonah. I appreciate that for a number of reasons, because there are those who contend that the book of Jonah is a myth and has no substance of fact and no foundation. But when the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of Jonah the prophet, you may rest assured that Jonah the prophet was a real person. And his experiences were real. Now, our Lord said to this group of doubters and skeptics, "The only sign I'm going to give you is the sign of Jonah." Many, many analogies can be drawn from the life of Jonah. But it seemed good, as I've studied the Word and prayed, that I digress a little this morning in the verse-by-verse study of the 12th chapter and the 13th chapter of the Revelation and give you a picture of the nation of Israel that you may know why Satan has attacked them, is attacking them, and yet will bring upon them a time of suffering. Maybe you don't know this, but those of you who saw the Holocaust, and those of you who came through World War II and have read and heard of the horrors of the concentration camps, inconceivable to the mind of man that such could happen to a people. But we're told in the Word of God that there is coming another day of trouble, far greater than they've ever experienced before. A day the like of which has never been, nor shall ever be again. That lies out ahead. You do well. If tears well up within your eyes every time you see a Jew, that's an unbeliever. If you know, recall, think of the things that are yet to come. Our Lord tells us that Jonah and his experiences or type of the nation of Israel. So this morning, with the Lord's help, I want to take you through the life and experiences of Jonah and show you the analogy between them and the Jews, or between Jonah and the Jews. First of all, let's consider the call of Jonah. A Hebrew prophet. And the Lord came unto him and said unto him, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, a Gentile city. You, a Hebrew prophet, go to that Gentile city and preach unto it the preaching of the words that I give you." Jonah was comparable to the Apostle Peter. He wasn't about to defile himself by going to the Gentiles. The Gentile dogs were unclean. It was said that in the days of our Lord, a Jew would cross the street rather than meet face to face with a Gentile, fearful that the Gentile's shadow would fall upon him and defile him. And so Jonah was called of God to go to this great city. No unanimity of opinion as to the population and size of the city, but in the book of Jonah, we read that it was a city of 3 days' journey. Commentators take that to mean it would take 3 days to walk around it, or 3 days to walk across it. I subscribe to the latter view, because in the book itself it says that Jonah entered into the city a day's journey. And after he had walked a day into the city, approximating the heart of the city, he began to preach. But it was a great city, a wicked city, but one for whom the Lord would die. And the call came to Jonah, the Hebrew prophet. Now the call came to the Hebrew nation, the children of Israel. We read of it first in the 9th chapter of Genesis, where Noah, awakening from his drunken stupor, realizing what his younger son had done unto him, pronounced a curse upon him, on Canaan, his father Ham. But to Shem, a blessing. Noah, giving the words of God concerning Shem, says, "Blessed be Jehovah, the Elohim of Shem." The blessing of Shem was to be spiritual. Shem was to be a spiritual blessing to others. When he pronounced the blessing upon Japheth, he said, "God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem." Japheth was to be the colonizer and civilizer of the world. Increase in number spread over the whole of the face of the earth. But his spiritual blessings were to come from Shem. Shem was to give the world the Bible. Shem was to give the world the Messiah. Shem was to be a blessing to all peoples. The call to Israel, the repository of God's laws, statutes, teaching. Isaiah tells us also that Shem was to be Jehovah's Witnesses to the ends of the earth. Noah, or Jonah, called to go to Nineveh, wasn't about to. And he disobeyed God. And he turned away from God to seek his own will. The nation of Israel wasn't about to be Jehovah's Witnesses to the dogs of the Gentiles. And the nation of Israel turned away from God. The nation of Israel sought her own will and went out from the face of the Lord. Now, if you're interested and really want to know in detail the cause of and the promise of suffering to the nation of Israel, Deuteronomy 28 and 29 spell it out for you in detail. Those two chapters, you can have no appreciation, no concept of the suffering of the people of Israel unless you know the contents of those two chapters. But when Jonah turned away from the Lord, then he fled. He fled. Many is the person today that tries to flee from the face of the Lord. There's no place where you and I can hide from the face of the Lord. There's no place we can go where He is not. But Jonah fled. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. I believe the scripture brings out the fact that Tarshish is Great Britain or the islands of Britain. But Jonah found a ship that was bound for Tarshish and he paid the fare from Joppa to Tarshish and boarded the ship. The nation of Israel, turning away from God, spread out and began to scatter abroad over the face of the earth, getting away from the places that were near and dear to her heart as she spread herself among the Gentiles. Jonah on board the ship went down into the hold of the ship, found a comfortable place, lay down, went to sleep. Israel, away from the presence of the Lord, fleeing from the Lord, disobedient to the commands of the Lord, becoming a merchantman rather than a tiller of the soil and a keeper of the flocks. Being merchants is not their calling. They drifted into that when they turned away from the Lord. The herds and the flocks and the farms and the ranches, that's what God has for them. But Jonah, seemingly at rest, at peace, in the hold of the ship, soon was awakened by some of the men on board the ship, some of the crew. A storm had come up. The wind was blowing. The waves were mounting higher and higher. The cargo and crew of the ship, as well as the ship, were in danger of being destroyed. The sea in the book of Revelation typifies the Gentile nations of the world. The Jew is typified by the land, the restless, ceaseless surging of the sea, characteristic of the Gentiles. No peace, no rest, no quiet. Now, when Jonah boarded the ship and they set the sea, the analogy there with Israel is that when Israel was scattered and spread abroad among the Gentiles, she's out there in the ceaseless surge of the peoples, and the storm arose. The storm arose. Israel, out of the will of God, had nothing to expect but tragedy, suffering, grief, sorrow, pain, death. The men on board the ship began to call upon their gods. No result. Louder went their cries, and no results. Someone mentioned Jonah in the hold of the ship asleep. They went down to waken him. Wake up! Wake up! Call on your God, that he'll do something to help us. Israel, out there among the nations of the world, and the storm is raging. Realize and appreciate the situation and condition of Israel today. All you have to do is remember that she's out there in the sea of the Gentiles and the storm is raging. To pick up your daily paper and read the headlines, and it tells of the storm that's raging with Israel. Jonah came forward. He's not ashamed of his identity. I'm a Hebrew. Neither are the children of Israel today ashamed of their heritage nor their identity, though there are some who change their names to Gentile names, and some of them have facial surgery to change their looks. Many and many is the one that had operation on the nose. But Isaiah tells us that no matter where they go, no matter what they do, they'll be recognized and known as a Jew. That identity cannot be hidden. It's known. But Jonah says, I'm an Hebrew, and I'm an Hebrew prophet, and I'm fleeing from the Lord and the will of the Lord, and this storm is caused by me. If you'll just throw me overboard and get rid of me, the storm will cease and you'll have calm. I don't know that Israel has said that today, but many and many of the individuals who know that there will be no peace in this world or on this earth until Israel is at peace. And the Lord has commanded us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, knowing that when that comes, there will be peace. But until then, no peace. Now, the nation of Israel today is in the position of Jonah on board the ship with the storm raging. Now, with Jonah thrown overboard, Jonah cast overboard into the sea, the storm ceases. The waves are quieted. The ship, the cargo, the crew are saved. And one of these days, Israel is going to be taken out of the midst. And when she's taken out of the midst of the peoples, into a place of safety, Then cometh relief, but no relief until then. Now, for the analogy there, we have Israel temporarily set aside as God's witnesses. And God turns to the Gentiles. And with Jonah thrown overboard, Jonah set aside and Jonah's rejected. But God preserves Jonah. The scripture says that God prepared a great fish. Could be a whale. There's some technical discussions as to whether a whale has a throat large enough to swallow a man or not. That's immaterial. The scripture says God prepared a fish. It was a custom-built job, and it was built for Jonah, and you can rest assured that Jonah could fit in it. God's not going to make a job for an individual that can't fit and won't fit. So Jonah was swallowed by the whale. Israel cast overboard, seemingly swallowed by the Gentile nations. For years and years, for centuries, they were people without a country. And just to think that you and I, the majority of us, you and I were alive on the day of May 14th, 1948, when Israel, which had not been a nation since 70 A.D., became a nation again. You and I saw that momentous day. We've seen several since then. I know of nothing more stirring, more exhilarating, more thrilling than that moment when Ishmael came off of his plane from Egypt to meet with Isaac, who came out of the Knesset, and there Sadat and Mahagan Begin met, shook hands. You and I were alive when that took place, and most of us saw it when it transpired. But with Israel scattered among the nations, God has preserved her. God has preserved her. Now God made the fish to preserve Jonah, and he is preserving the nation of Israel. Satan has tried to exterminate them. He's killed them by the millions. He's tried to amalgamate them. He's tried to assimilate them. And you and I are living in the day in which he's trying to integrate them. This integration movement is not a movement to give colored people their rights. It's not a movement to give minorities their rights. This integration movement is a move on the part of Satan to swallow up the nation of Israel. And if he could swallow up the nation of Israel, then Jesus would not come back, because there would be no nation to whom he could come, over which he could rule and reign. This whole so-called integration movement is but a scheme on the part of Satan to absorb Israel into the nations. But long after the human race becomes gray, if it should, which it won't, the Jew will still be preserved separate and distinct, because God is preserving them. God is, because he has a purpose for them, and he has a plan for them, and it'll be accomplished. Now, Jonah, in the belly of the whale, grew tired of it. I don't know how this whale or fish was furnished inside, but I've seen the inside of many a fish. And I tell you frankly, I have no desire to spend 3 days there and nights like Jonah did. But Jonah grew tired of it. Jonah grew tired of it. Keep that in mind. And he began to go over in his mind, why am I here? What have I done that I should deserve this? What have I done that this should happen to me? Why? Why? Oh, why? Oh, why? And it comes back to him that he disobeyed God. He disobeyed God. And because God loved him, he was being chastened. Whom God loveth, he chasteneth. I'm here. I'm here because of what God has done. I'm here because I've disobeyed God. I'm here because I refuse to carry the news of the one true and living God to the ends of the earth. That's the reason I'm here. He knew instinctively to repent. And out of the belly of Sheol, he says, Sheol being the place where the dead went, we can come to but one conclusion, and that is that Jonah died in the belly of the whale or fish, and his soul went down into Sheol. And out of the heart of Sheol, he cried out to God. He's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ rising from the dead. He cried out to God, and God heard him. Now, we read in the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy, when you read 28 and 29 this afternoon, then go on into 30. We read in the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy, it shall come to pass in that day when Israel is scattered among the nations of the world, that she'll call to mind the threats and the promises of God. She'll call them to mind. And she'll turn to the Lord her God. You've had that experience, haven't you? Even as I, lying on the bed of affliction, suffering indescribable pain, bowed in grief because your income has ceased, broken hearted because of tragedy which has struck, you turn to the Lord. Israel, in the midst of the great tribulation, Israel, amidst their suffering, is going to turn to the Lord. And they're going to call upon the Lord. And the Lord is going to hear. Jonah, out of the belly of Sheol, calling upon God. God heard him. God spoke to the whale, told the whale to get moving. The whale moved up toward the land, opened his mouth, vomited Jonah out on the land. God heard Jonah and delivered him. In Deuteronomy 30 it says that when Israel shall turn to the Lord her God, repent of her sins and call upon him in the land where they're dwelling, all over the face of the earth, that then the Lord will send back Jesus whom they've rejected. And we're told in that particular passage of Scripture that though the Jew makes his home and his nest among the stars, though he settles on Mars or Jupiter, Saturn, though he settles on any of the stars or planets out there, I'll bring him back to the earth. Don't ever let anybody raise a question in your mind about what the earth is the center of God Almighty's activities. The earth is the center. And so God is going to hear the Jews. And as he had the whale put Jonah on the land, when Israel turns to God again, he's going to bring her back into her land. Many nations through the ages have sought to establish a homeland in their nation or on their nation's shores for the nation of Israel. Never succeeded, because God Almighty has made Israel for the people and the people for the land. There's an affinity there placed by God that cannot be disturbed or moved or destroyed. Now, when Jonah was thrown up on the land, the word of the Lord came unto him a second time. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out to it the preaching that I'll give you. Go. And Jonah went. Jonah went. Somehow or other, I've always had it in my mind that when that fish threw Jonah up on the land, he hit running. I don't think he stopped and looked back. I don't think he asked any questions. He just hit running. If he saw anybody, he said, which way to Nineveh? And the Lord said the second time, now go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out to it and preach it the words that I'll give you. That's the beauty of being a minister. All you have to do is give the people the words the Lord has said. Don't have to work up anything yourself at all. Just give them what the Lord says. And Jonah went. Jonah went. One day, Israel's going to be gathered back to her land. God Almighty is going to seal 144,000 of them with a commission to go. And they're going to the ends of the earth with the glorious gospel of the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, Jonah went to Nineveh. The Lord said, cry out unto it the preaching of the words that I'll tell you. And the words were this. Very brief message. Very pointed. Very personal. Jonah came to the city. He walked into the city for a day, and then he started his message. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be destroyed. As people contemplate the so-called nuclear accident on Three Island, they're wondering just how many days before we're going to be destroyed. Well, fear not. The Lord has a whole lot of things yet to do with this world. First thing he's got to do, he's got to get all of his children out of here before anything happens. So rejoice, ye saints of God. He's on his throne and all is well. Just take it easy. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. The word spread. It went to the palace. The king heard it. The king issued a decree. Let every man, woman, boy, and girl, let every child, let every beast of burden, every animal in the kingdom be covered with sackcloth and ashes. Let us turn back to God. Let us call upon God. Who can tell but what God will be gracious and forgive us of our sins and not destroy our city? And a Jew comes and he goes and he's scattered abroad and he begins preaching the glorious gospel. And we read concerning that an innumerable host saved, so many that no man could number them. And we read here that the whole city of Nineveh, and it was quite a city, over 200,000 infants so young they couldn't distinguish between the left hand and the right hand. It has been figured by those dealing in figures that with over 200,000 children of that age, the population had to be at least 2 or 3 million. The whole city turned to the Lord. The whole city was saved. And then the nation of Israel goes, this 144,000 preaching the glorious gospel of the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We find a host that no man could number being saved. That's the great revival of which the Bible speaks. Not before the coming of the Lord, but after the coming of the Lord. And there we have the results. Israel is out of her place. Being out of her place is the occasion of all the trouble, the grief and sorrow that's in the world today. There are four individuals or four things that are out of place. There will be no peace. There will be no rest. There will be nothing until those four things are right before the Lord. I mentioned Israel. Not until Israel is back in her land with the ascendancy above the nations of the world as the head of the nations. Not until the Lord Jesus Christ is seated on the throne of David, ruling and reigning over the house of Israel. Not until the church has been called up and has become the consort queen, bride, ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not until Satan has been cast into the bottomless pit. Not until those four beings are in their rightful places will there be peace. In the meantime, you and I can have peace. And that peace that passes all understanding through the indwelling Spirit of God and through the promises of God. Israel is out of the will of God. And being out of the will of God is the occasion of all the trouble that's in the world today. But with Israel set aside, God has given the Gentiles a privilege and opportunity. And it's up to you and I to tell the story of Jesus. No more wonderful story. The whole universe hinges upon the story of Jesus the Christ. The whole thing. I'm right in the center of it. I've trusted the Lord as my Savior. I didn't know much when I was saved. I was 8 years old. I knew I was lost. I accepted the word of my elders that if I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd be saved. I didn't know anything about that much. Don't know too much more about it today, but I believe it whole heart and soul. And so I trusted the Lord. Perfect peace has come and is my portion. Now listen, you and I are seeing world events. We're seeing things happening. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. It draweth nigh. One day the summons is coming to come up higher, and all who believe in the Lord will join him. All who don't will remain here to go through what's called the Great Tribulation. I'm wondering, man, woman, or boy, or girl this morning, you walk down, give me a hand and say, "Preacher, I'm trusting Jesus as my Savior this morning." What must I do to be saved? Nothing. Jesus has done it all. You just accept it as a free gift. We're going to stand and sing. Man or woman, boy or girl, if you'll make this